2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians, and we're moving on now. We pretty much finished up chapter 10 last time. We covered it, I think, sufficiently. We're going to move on now to chapter 11. We're at that place in our study now where you've got to chapter 11, 12, and 13, and this is one major section here. So we're kind of on, how you might say, the final stretch of studying through this book. We're not at all near done. We're not going to be done in the next 2 weeks. We have a lot to cover, but I'm just saying we're kind of getting close to the home stretch in studying through this book, and I trust that what we've looked at so far has been edifying and helpful for you. And of course, by the time we get done with this, you'll have availability of the entire set of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians through our website and through our ministry here, and as well as a number of other studies as available for you. So you'll be able to go back and study some of these things in detail, and I would encourage you to do so. And to spend a lifetime through studying through Paul's epistles, that's just so vital. Well, so just keep that in mind as we now move over to chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians here. We are really kind of in the home stretch of what Paul is conveying to the Corinthians here. And there's a definite tie back from this chapter forward to the first chapter in the book, and hope to kind of bring some of that out as we go. What we want to do today in progressing or proceeding now in our study of the book is we want to introduce what Paul is doing here, what the next thrust, in a sense, and next direction of this book is. And it's real interesting how the Apostle Paul starts this section. It's interesting, and it is often misunderstood what he is saying. If you look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1, it's very interesting what the Apostle Paul is saying here, but it's also highly misunderstood, and we want to try to clarify that for you as we proceed. He begins by saying this: "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Now, the question comes up sometimes, and that is, well, why is Paul asking us to put up with his foolishness? He says here, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." And so we want to understand what in the world is he doing when he says that, and we want to make sure that we don't misunderstand what he's saying. His point here is not so much the idea of put up, I'm going to get off into a bunch of foolish things, and so you don't really need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Sometimes that's the impression that people get when they read down through this passage. If you'll look at verse 17, "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." So again, sometimes people have the idea when Paul begins this section with asking the Corinthians and asking you and me to put up with his folly, that he's speaking foolishly, and therefore we don't really need to pay that much attention to it. It's really not that important. It's just, Paul is just having a fit of the flesh and glorying in his flesh right now. So this whole section here, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, it's just, it's just his opinion. It's not really that important. It's kind of some good stuff, and we quote verses from here every once in a while. But since Paul clearly says at verse 17 that he's not speaking it after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, then therefore it has no authority. It has no real power. It has no real significance. It's just kind of his personal opinion. In fact, if you look what he says over in chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "I am become a fool in glorying." So they say, see, Paul right there says he's just glorying in his own flesh. And therefore, that being the case, he's not really speaking by the power of with the authority of the Holy Spirit and in the power of God. And therefore, what he says, yeah, it's kind of important, but it's of a secondary importance. It's really not that big of a deal. Now, I hope you understand enough about your Bible, and I hope you understand enough about Paul's written ministry and his apostleship to understand that concept is absolute foolishness itself. That concept, that idea, that belief that Paul is saying here, that he's just speaking foolishly, that it's not of the Lord, and therefore you can just discount it. I hope you understand that's foolish, okay? That is not what the Apostle Paul is saying in this section here at all. The concept that you can discount or truncate or throw out these last several chapters, you know, practically speaking of 2 Corinthians, because Paul here says he's speaking foolishly. Friends, do not adopt that concept at all. That's just not the truth. Well, if that's not what Paul is saying when he says at verse 1 of chapter 11, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly." When he says at verse 17, "as it were, foolishly." When he says, "I'm become a fool in glory." If he is not himself discrediting and discounting what he's saying, if he is not himself saying, you know what, since I'm speaking foolishly, it's really not that important, it doesn't carry the authority of the Holy Spirit and so forth. If that's not what he's saying, which, let me say it again, that's not what he is saying in these verses. Well, then, of course, the question is, what is he saying? What is he trying to convey to these Corinthians and, of course, to you and me when he does clearly begin this section by asking us to bear with him a little in his folly? When he does say that he's not speaking this after the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, when he says that that he's speaking as a fool, you can see at verse 23 in parentheses there. Notice verse 23 in parentheses. He says, "I speak as a fool." What then is he saying? Well, you got to keep a couple of things in mind, several things in mind as you come to this section. First of all, this is not chapter number 1. Well, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we've got 10 chapters of doctrine that we've already studied through. And not only that, we have 13 chapters from 1 Corinthians that we... I'm sorry, 16 chapters that we... I think of 13 here for 2 Corinthians. Anyway, 16 chapters from 1 Corinthians that we've already studied through. So there is a whole background of information that we have to keep on board when the Apostle Paul says that, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly." What does he mean by his folly? Well, let me remind us, let's remind ourselves about some of the important, the background here and some details so that we can really appreciate what he means by that. If you will go back to chapter 10, this is just going to be a couple of quick verses here. Look back at chapter 10 and keep this in mind. What was happening back in chapter number 10 is that there were those who were accusing the Apostle Paul of walking according to the flesh. Remember that? They were using the wrong standard to evaluate Paul's ministry. Remember that. Chapter number 10, look at verse 2. "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." There were those at Corinth who discounted Paul's ministry and made the accusation, false accusation of course, that he just walked, quote unquote, according to the flesh. Now look at verse 7. "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance?" That's the second thing to keep in mind. They were evaluating things on the wrong stand, using the wrong standard. They were evaluating Paul's ministry by looking at the outward appearance. So there were some at Corinth who were accusing Paul of walking according to the flesh, that is, making his decisions based purely on the flesh, not being led by the Spirit of God. They were judging things based upon the outward appearance. Notice the next thing they said. Look at verse 9. "That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters," say they, That same group that was belittling Paul's apostleship and ministry, that same group was saying this about Paul. His letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. Now watch this. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. That's the third thing to keep in mind, right here from the immediate context. Number one, there were some at Corinth who were saying Paul walked according to the flesh. That is, he was not being led by the Spirit of God. There's no way he could be this apostle. Number two, they were evaluating things based upon the outward appearance instead of looking at the doctrine. Number three, they were saying that the Apostle Paul's bodily presence was weak and that his speech was contemptible. Number four, remember verse 12? Paul says, "We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they," here it is, "measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So the fourth thing to remember is that those folks who were belittling, rejecting, diminishing, debasing Paul's apostleship and ministry, they had their own club. Their own club of mutual admiration. They had their own group, their own college, their own seminaries that they belonged to, and they thought they knew it all. And what they did is that they measured themselves by themselves, and they compared themselves among themselves. They set themselves up as the standard. And Paul didn't meet their standard. And hence, that's why he was on the outside. And the fifth thing to remember is verse 18. Verse 17 and 18. "For he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." That's the fifth thing to remember. Now, if you'll keep in mind those 5 points, and that's just from chapter 10. We're not even going all the way back to 1 Corinthians and to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 in places like that. Just from the immediate context here, if you'll keep those 5 points in mind from chapter number 10, you'll understand right off the bat what Paul means when he says at chapter 11, verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly." He says that against the backdrop of those who at Corinth said, "Paul, okay, that Paul guy there, he cannot possibly be that important of a guy because he's walking after the flesh. Look at his ministry. Everybody's turning away from him. He's being persecuted all over the place. His churches are not growing. His outreach is not growing. He hasn't been to our school. His bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And not only that, we've weighed him. We've checked out. And he doesn't meet our standard." And then the Apostle Paul says, now keep in mind, whoever the Lord commends, that's who you need to listen to. "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." That's the backdrop against which the Apostle Paul asks the Corinthians and asks you and me to bear a little bit with his folly. Friends, what he's doing, he's mocking them here. He's saying, okay guys, you say I'm weak, I am weak, and that's the source of my power. You guys say I'm foolish, you guys say that I'm rude in speech. Look what he says at verse 6 of chapter 11. Look what he says at chapter 11, verse 6. "But though I be rude in speech," and we talked about that word rude last time, he's not talking about, you know, foul language or cussing. He's talking about that he wasn't using their big sophisticated words, the big sophisticated words that they learned in their seminaries and theological schools. He says, "I'm keeping this really, really simple, real rude, real basic." And he says, okay guys, you're finding fault with me because I'm keeping this simple. Remember verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm keeping this simple. I'm keeping this basic. I'm not using those those $5 words, so to speak. I'm using the real basic. And so he says, okay, well then put up with my folly. Put up with my weakness. And let's determine who it is that God approves and who God commends. And exactly what he's going to do in chapter number 11, 12, and 13, he is going to demonstrate how he ended chapter number 10. Remember how he ended chapter number 10? Look at verse 17 and 18. "He that glorieth," okay, number one, Paul's going to glory in the Lord. Number two, verse 18, For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. He is going to demonstrate in this next section here the answer to that question. And that is, okay, who is the Lord commending? And of course, he's going to demonstrate by the next three chapters here, 11, 12, and 13, who it is that the Lord not only is commending, but will certainly commend at the end. So when he says here, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, he's saying, okay, guys, I'll use their standard. Let's look at what they say. And then let's really evaluate. But let's evaluate not from the flesh, not from outward appearance, but from the facts. Let's evaluate this from the truth, and let's find out who the Lord commendeth. And then that's who you need to listen to. You see how he's doing that there? So he's not saying to discount what he's writing here. If anything, he says to listen up to what I'm writing. In fact, when he says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, he's not saying that, hey, everything that I'm going to write from here forward is foolishness, so you don't need to pay attention to it. He's saying, guys, listen, I'm going to embark upon this trip of folly. I'm going to glory in my flesh. But in glorying in my flesh, what you're going to see happening, you're going to see the reason that I'm being persecuted. You're going to see the reason that I am suffering. You're going to see the reason that this message is being rejected. You're going to see the reason why there is such opposition to what I am doing. And every single one of those points is going to demonstrate that God is commending my ministry. That is Paul's ministry. And therefore, that's why you should listen to it. Okay? Now, if you would, bear with me just a minute. I'm doing the same thing Paul's doing there. Bear with me, okay? I want to read to you the definition of the word folly. The definition, and this is from Webster's 1828 dictionary under folly as a noun. He actually lists four different definitions. And of course, you know, they don't all apply, but it's very interesting. I think it's helpful here. The first definition that is given is this: weakness of intellect, imbecility of mind, and want, that is, or lack of understanding. Well, that's what those people at Corinth were saying about the Apostle Paul. They were saying the guy is weak and he's rude. In fact, look how he says it. Look back over to chapter number 5 here. Look back to chapter number 5. Look at the accusation that Paul has to address over here. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians. He says, for whether we be beside ourselves. There it is. They said, you know, to be beside yourself is to be out of your mind. You know, they say, you guys, you put the guy in the straitjacket and send him to the loony farm, you know. That's what they said about the Apostle Paul. They said, Paul's beside himself. And Paul, of course, says, hey, guys, whether we be beside ourselves, you know what, it's to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. You see that? He says, listen, if I'm out of my mind, it's to God. You know, but my point is that they were accusing him of being out of his mind, that he was weak of intellect. He was an imbecile in his mind, and he had no understanding of what was going on from God. Listen, that's what they were saying about the Apostle Paul. They were commending themselves by themselves. They were measuring themselves by their human false standard. And since Paul not only didn't use that standard, he didn't measure up to that standard. According to their standard, he was out of his mind, he was an imbecile of mind, and he lacked understanding. So when the Apostle Paul says at chapter 11, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, he's mocking them. He's saying, okay, guys, you think I don't know what I'm talking about. You guys think I don't have an understanding of what's going on. You guys think I'm just walking by the flesh and I'm not being led by the Spirit of God. He says, well, fine, well, at least put up with my thinking and my doctrine here. Consider what I have to say. Think through this information. And let this doctrine demonstrate to you who it is that God is commending. And as you think through the doctrine here that he's going to write, as he's going to finish this book with his next three chapters and so forth, he puts this information right out to them so that they can understand that he isn't saying in this verse, you know, that what I'm writing is just foolishness so you can discount it. He's saying virtually the opposite. He's saying, you take and evaluate what I'm saying. You take and study what I'm saying and think about it, and let the evidence demonstrate to you who it is that God approves and therefore who God is commending. Remember, let me say it again. The way he ends chapter number 10, let me reverse this. What he does in chapter 11, 12, and 13, the ending of this book, he demonstrates the last verse of chapter 10. The last verse of chapter number 10 says this, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved," that's those other guys, "but whom the Lord commendeth." That's what he's going to do as he finishes out this book in the next three chapters. He's going to demonstrate who it is that the Lord is commending, and therefore who you should listen to. Okay? Now, let me read the next definition to this word folly. Interesting, the second definition to this word folly is a weak or absurd act, not criminal, an act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or with the ordinary rules of prudence and so forth. The concept is the idea of weak, being weak. It doesn't measure up. Well, once again, that's what they were saying about the Apostle Paul, that he doesn't measure up to the other apostles. He doesn't measure up to Peter. He doesn't measure up to those guys that compare themselves by themselves. And they were accusing him of being weak. And so the Apostle Paul really is going to take up both points. The idea that they were accusing him of being a fool, being rude, being too simple in mind, no mind at all beside himself, and being weak. No power, no spiritual power and authority. In this section, the Apostle Paul is going to take up both issues to demonstrate the authority of God's Word and the power and ability of His grace. Okay? Now, I'm not sure if you're taking notes or not, but this is something kind of interesting, I think very instructive and helpful. The word folly, fool, foolishly, and fools. Four different words there. Folly, fool, foolishly, and fools appears 9 different times in these three chapters. And actually, just in a couple of chapters here, 9 different times in this section, those four words, folly, fool, foolishly, and then fools, okay? It appears 9 different times. That's kind of interesting. In fact, if you take those words and you look at the use of those words throughout the book of both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, without question, this is the majority of the place that he uses those words. Let me just show them to you really quick. Verse 1. You've already seen the word folly in verse 1. Go to verse 16. And it's going to appear twice in verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me. So it's twice in that verse. Look at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? And in the parentheses he says, I speak as a fool. And then chapter 12 and verse 6. He says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. There it is at that verse. And in verse 11, he says, I am become a fool in glorying, ye have compelled me. Now the word foolishly, look at verse 17 and 21. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. Look at verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit were and soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. There's twice there. And in the word fools, verse 19. For ye suffer fools gladly. Now what's the point? That's 9 different times in these two chapters that the Apostle Paul uses either folly, fool, foolishly, and fools. That's pretty instructive. He obviously is using that word frankly, to mock the Corinthians here, to mock those false teachers, to mock those false apostles, to just say, guys, you're using the wrong standard to evaluate and to find out and determine who God's ministry, who God is approving and commending. And he says to the Corinthians, okay, guys, let's use that then, and let's do see who God is commending. He's doing this to try to really help the Corinthians kind of wake up a little bit to what's going on here. Now, the next word that he uses in this section that is obviously quite prominent is the word weak. Remember back in chapter 10, verse 10, those accusations said against him that his bodily presence is weak. That word weak, W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K, not like seven, but as in like powerless. That word weak is used 8 different times in this section here. And actually, one of those 8 is the one you just read back in chapter 10. So it's going to be 8 different times that he uses that word weak. Let me show you those now. Verse 21. 11:21, he says this, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Look at verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? See, it's twice in that verse right there. Okay, I might have miscounted then. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. Look at chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproach and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, there's that word there. Look at chapter 13, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you were it is not weak, but is mighty. There's the word weak again, verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak. And then look at verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. For this also we wish, even your perfection. You see that there? So you can see that the Apostle Paul takes and uses the two words, the two ideas that they were making accusation against Paul, that he's a fool, that is, he's out of his mind, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't have any authority, and he's weak, he has no power. There's no authority, and there's no power in Paul's unique and separate apostleship. It ain't happening over there, so they were saying. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he's telling these guys, okay, guys, we'll put up with me then. Put up with my little weakness here. Put up with my folly here for just a moment. Put up with the idea that I don't know what I'm talking about, that I'm walking after the flesh, and that I have no power. Put up with that for just a few minutes, and let's look at the facts and see whether or not that is so. And, of course, what he's going to do here, he's going to demonstrate the fact. That if you'll study through the details, if you'll look at what he says here, you're going to come to the conclusion that, wow, this guy is anything but weak. Now, granted, in himself he is weak, but he's got some other kind of power that is sustaining him, some other kind of resource that is strengthening him. Man, there's some power. Sure, his bodily presence is weak. And sure, his speech is contemptible, so they say. When you look at the outward appearance, yeah, it looks like this guy is weak. But wow, when you really look at what this guy has been through, you got to say, man, there is a power, a real living power and resource that he has that is sustaining him through the persecutions and afflictions that no one else is going through. And there is an authority in his message that is the power of God unto salvation from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, the apostasy of sin, the satanic opposition. There's an authority here. And so by Paul saying, okay, guys, put up then with my weakness and my folly here and listen to what I have to say, and you'll see what's going on here. Okay? So hopefully that kind of sets the stage for us to appreciate what he's going to be doing here in the next 3 chapters. And that we therefore will never have the idea that when Paul makes the statement such as in verse 17 of chapter 11, 11:17, that which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. Hopefully we'll never take the idea from that verse in the context of saying, well, therefore we can discount what the Apostle Paul says. Since he didn't speak it after the Lord, it's not Scripture, therefore it has no power, and we don't need to follow it, we don't need to trust it. Okay, hopefully you'll completely change your mind on that, if you ever even thought that. I hope you didn't think that ever. Okay, but I'm serious, you're going to run across people who absolutely think that about Paul's apostleship and ministry. They belittle his apostleship, they belittle his ministry, they discount what he says. We had some visitors come out to church, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, some really nice people, I mean, just tremendous, really enjoyed meeting them, and seemed to be genuinely open to the Word of God and so forth, and we're going to have some meetings with them going forward. But it was rather interesting that during my message, one of the things that I went over was the fact that the Apostle Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles, and the dispensation of the grace of God was given to his trust for you and me today in this dispensation. And that if we would consider what the Apostle, you and me, that's, I know we've read that hundreds and hundreds of times, so I guess we're maybe more used to it. And to people who really haven't really thought much about Paul's ministry, maybe they've never even seen those verses before, I don't know. But at any rate, after church, we went and talked with the gentleman, super nice guy. He does genuinely seem to have what appears to be a heart to, you know, maybe want to understand the Word more. But he just right off the bat said, you know, I don't know about this dispensational stuff and this Paul's apostleship stuff. And he said, it kind of sounds like you guys are, you know, maybe making too big a deal of that. And, you know, I thought, well, but wait a minute. I just read the verses. I just read the verses. The Apostle Paul says he's the Apostle of the Gentiles. I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul says the dispensation of the grace of God was given to him for us Gentiles and so forth. I didn't invent that. That's what the verse said. The Apostle Paul says that we should consider what he says and the Lord give the understanding in all things. And the Apostle Paul uses the term my gospel. And again, in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, sir, I didn't invent these verses. I didn't write these verses. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Apostle Paul says. But in people's minds, for so many years, Paul's ministry, the history of Christianity the last 2,000 years, has belittled Paul's ministry. They've discounted Paul's ministry. They say you don't need to consider what Paul says. When he says things like, my gospel, he doesn't really mean my gospel. When he says that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to his trust as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, they say, well, it's just all the same thing. It doesn't mean anything different. But Paul says he's preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. They say, well, no, it really wasn't kept secret. It just was hidden at Pentecost and God was making it known and so forth. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That concept, those beliefs, those views, that is completely doing what Paul is telling the Corinthians about. That guys, they're saying that his speech is rude, you don't have to listen to it, that he's got no authority and no power, and it belittles his message, it makes light of his message, it makes him a secondary, at best, a secondary apostle. And it implies that, you know what, you don't really have to pay that much close attention to every word that Paul says. It's really kind of all the same thing. Well, friends, I don't think so. All right? And I hope you're on the same page. I'm sure you are. That those very issues about whether or not Paul's ministry is sanctioned by the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ as a separate and unique apostleship, there, hence the authority, and whether or not the power he's preaching is the power of God in all of its aspects, whether or not it's really the power of God, and hence when we are weak, then we are strong. I hope you understand, and I'm sure you do, that's exactly what Paul is driving at here and wants the Corinthians to come and appreciate and understand. And the very right off the bat, after saying, guys, put up with me and my folly here. Go ahead and bear with me. right off the bat, he warns them about satanic opposition to the message that he is proclaiming. He says at verse 3, and I know I'm jumping ahead over verse 2, we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure and kind of get to this point. Look at what he, right off the bat, very first issue, verse 3, he says, but I fear. In fact, let me go back to verse 11, 1. He says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Imagine you guys get espoused to a young virgin here, and then some other man is trying to come and seduce her, and try to seduce her not only away from you, but to seduce her into impure activity and so forth. And imagine how you would stand up for that young virgin. You'd just be incensed about this. And the Apostle Paul says that that's what his concern is for the body of Christ. And here's his fear at verse 3. He exposes his fear. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's his great fear. We're going to have to deal with that more next time, which we will. We'll get into details here. And he says at verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth, notice, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Look at the play on words here. Paul at verse 1 says, guys, indeed, bear with me. He says at verse 4, you guys will bear with that guy. He says, look, you guys are putting up with. The idea of bearing with is like put up with. Look how he says it at verse 19. Verse 19, he says, for ye suffer, fools, gladly, seeing yourselves are wise, for ye suffer. The idea of suffer is not just the idea of suffering in the sense of persecution, but in the sense of allowing. You guys are allowing this to happen to you. You guys are bearing with those false teachers. Back at verse 4, and he's asking them to bear with him. You see, these false teachers are going to come along. In fact, he flat out calls them at verse 13. He just absolutely flat out calls them false apostles. He says they're deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I mean, the gloves are off at this point. Can I say it that way? He's just right flat out telling those guys are absolute false apostles, period. He doesn't sugarcoat this at all. He doesn't say, well, you know, they're false apostles, but they're good, godly men. You know, kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, for you and me, we don't want to, well, what am I trying to say? I'm saying if they're preaching a nun thought, but you can see at verse 4, he says at verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You Corinthians are putting up with those guys. Well, please put up with me, Paul's kind of saying here. Indeed, bear with me. Bear with me, he says at verse 1, because you're bearing with them at verse 4. And you can see that their modus operandi is going to be under three categories here. Another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel. They're going to come talking about Jesus. They're going to come talking about the Spirit of God. They're going to come claiming to have good news. Gospel. I mean, after all, isn't that what happens? And Paul says, you guys need to be way more discerning. You guys need to listen very carefully to what is being said and taught. Because if you don't listen very carefully to what is being said and taught about that other Jesus, that other Spirit, and the other Gospel, then you guys are going to put up with that. You're going to bear with him. You're going to allow them in your midst, which is exactly what happened. And what's going to happen is that they're going to come along and they're going to smite you on the face. They're going to bring you into bondage. Look at verse 20. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Those that come in with that other Jesus, that other spirit, and that other gospel, that's where they take you, to verse 20. They bring you into bondage, they devour of you, they take of you, they exalt themselves, and they smite you on the face. They bring you into bodies of their religious system. You see that? And friends, listen, I know people don't like this. I know people don't like me to say this, but the fact is, Paul is describing modern-day Christianity right there. That's the problem. He's describing modern-day religious confusion out there in, not in Judaism, and not in Islam, and not in Buddhism, and not in Hinduism, but friends, in the churches of Christians, in the Gentile Christian churches. That's what his concern is here, you know? So we're out of time. My oh my, it just goes by way too fast. We're out of time. We're going to pick up here next time. The objective today was just to introduce this final section of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians here, and I hope that I've been able to convey this to you at least to some degree. We'll pick up here next time. Let's see if we have any questions or comments. If you do, make sure and click on that raise hand icon so we can give you the microphone for your question or your comment there. Trophimus, how are you doing today? Let me release the mic, and then you can go ahead with your question or comment.
Thank you, John. You know, it's very interesting, you know, these preachers that, like you say, in the so-called Christian church, that preach a different Jesus and a different spirit and a different gospel. You know, when you go back to Numbers 12, and even when Aaron and Miriam questioned God's choice of Moses as his man, you know, Miriam was struck with leprosy. And you go to Numbers 16, and when, you know, 250 princes, renowned men of the congregation, along with, you know, that rebellion of Korah, you know, God put that down, you know, when they questioned God's man. And in the future, in Revelation 2:2, God commends them for, you know, testing those who claim to be apostles, you know, and weren't, you know. And so again, you know, these men that get behind the pulpit and preach, like you say, a different Jesus and a different gospel and spirit, should think their lucky stars are living in the dispensation of the grace of God, because if God dealt with them today, as he dealt with them in the past, and will deal with them in the future. Anyway, thank you, John. Enjoyed your message.
Yes, indeed. Thank God that we do live in the dispensation of grace. And my oh my, you're right. If God dealt with them like those saved people who are preaching that other Jesus today, if he dealt with them like he did in time past or in the future, it'd be a different story. So, yeah, this is an important section for us to really get the discernment that the Scripture gives us here, so that we will listen carefully and make sure that the Jesus that we're believing in, the Spirit that we've received, and the gospel we're resting in is indeed 100% that it matches what the Apostle Paul preached. And, of course, we'll talk more about that next time. So, Trophimus, thanks for your insight and your comments there. Anybody else have a question or comment? Right, well, I don't see any other hands up at this point. Again, we do want to thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning as we continue to study through 2 Corinthians. And I hope you can join us tonight for our next live session, which will be 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We're continuing our study about the Bible itself, and we've transitioned now where we're looking at the doctrine of translation and languages in particular. And we started that last week, so hopefully you can join us for that. All right, well, remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Thanks. Have a wonderful day in Christ. See you now.